There's many things that we are called to study to show ourselves approved to God. And we don't have all the answers to everything. God has all the answers. And until we go to God and ask Him to open our eyes and give us understanding, it makes it very difficult for us to grasp and comprehend what it is that we should be doing. Because it says, when the master does come back, what's he looking for? He's looking for the servants who will be doing. Doing what? Just watching world news? Well, that's maybe part of it. But that's not all of it. He wants us to be involved in a character transformation, as was mentioned in the sermonette in Romans 12, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because our minds have been terribly influenced by the world in which we grew up. And as he pointed out, Mother Eve and Adam, they may have been grown as far as physical bodies, but in their minds they were just still innocent children. They didn't know and comprehend what the master said when he made this statement. He says, if you take of that tree, this knowledge of good and evil, you will do what? You will die. Well, what is death? Apparently we hadn't seen anything dying, and they didn't know what dead, nothing to relate. And surely, when they did do it, they found out they didn't die. But they died within that first day of 1,000 years, because in the eyes of God, a day is like 1,000 years. So we have a lot there to learn from the Bible. And so looking back over the years in the Church of God, it stirred this topic in my mind, because it's very relevant to what we're living in right now. And I want to share it with you today, because I think it's something we don't think about. I think we've gotten callous and weak, and we're very, if I may use the term, we're a bunch of couch potatoes today. We've been getting so cushied in the life we live, and we're so blessed by the hand of God, because we live in the greatest country that the world has ever seen. They all document that. There's no place like the United States of America. That's why everybody wants to come here. They don't want to assimilate. They want to bring their pagan ideas, their pagan ways, their wrong way of living, but they want to bring that into America, not to become an American, but to get all the goodies and the things they see that Americans have been so blessed to have that are not out there in other countries. Well, if their gods are so great, how come their gods are not doing all this stuff for their people? But the God of Israel was the God who blessed his people, and we have been blessed because we are the end time people of the house of Israel and the other nations around the world that compose the house of Israel. All of this is exciting when we understand the calling of God. You and I have been called out of this world. We're not in this world. We live in it, but we're not of it. We think differently, we act differently, and we behave differently. Because why? We glorify the God who has given us the breath of life and has revealed to us, just as Jesus told in the book of Luke, the gospel account, Jesus was asked the question. The disciples said, why are you talking to them in parables? He says, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but not to them. It's not their time. God will reveal these things to them in the process of time, but it's not yet. So what God is doing, he's taking this plan that he has set in motion for the redemption of mankind and all creation to bring it back under the power of God's mighty hand. And you and I are being blessed in that calling to be called first fruits under this great plan of salvation. There's nothing more exciting and more wonderful to know that very truth. Because, you know, when you're going through a great trial and a difficulty and you don't understand what it is, that just magnifies the problem. But if you know the reason why you're going through it and you have the wherewithal to deal with it because now you have the knowledge, unto you it has been given, what happens? You can deal with it with the help of God because you know what God has promised to be with you during these times of trial and difficulty. So today I want to take a topic that we've heard about. We see it experienced in the world around us. It's recorded in the Bible. And yet, there may be some things we have missed in the process of time, because once you learn something, if you don't dig deeper and keep digging deeper into it, what happens is you begin to assume you understand everything about that. And that's not true. It's like peeling an onion. You have to get that first layer off and then the second layer, and you go deeper and say, wow, why didn't I see that before? Well, the reason you didn't, because you didn't dig deeper. And the Bible uses that in the book of Proverbs. It looks like you're on a hunt and you're digging for something. Oh, you're digging for a pearl of great price. Or you're looking for valuable things that are hidden, but you won't find them until you dig it out. And God is even uses scriptures to point this very thing out. He says, it is the wisdom of God to conceal a thing, which he does, but it is the glory of kings to search it out, to dig it out and find out by seeking God's guidance in matter. So now, looking back over those years in the Church of God, for many of us who have been in there, some of us are brand spanking new. And if you're brand spanking new, what are you? You may be a grown adult, but you've learned a lot of stuff that's not right according to the Bible. All of us have done that. And it's a process of having to root this stuff out, get it out of our minds, out of our thoughts, so that we start thinking like God thinks, and then we can look and understand why people think like they do. And then the next thing you see is that as God says, Father, what? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Nobody really thinks they're doing wrong. Everyone thinks they're doing right, because no one person thinks exactly like everyone else. We're all unique. We've all created a world in which we live. It's called our mind. And in our mind, guess what? That brain has never seen daylight. You ever think about that? Your brain has never seen daylight. It's incarcerated inside your skull, covered over. How does the brain understand anything? Five senses. The five senses do what? Begin to teach you. You start looking around. You start smelling. You start tasting. You start feeling. And all these things begin to shoot information into your mind. And as it shoots information into your mind, that goes basically into your subconscious, which they say is very powerful. In fact, it moves, it receives six times more understanding of data and information or input, however you want to call it. And here's the interesting thing. Your conscious mind doesn't receive it that fast. That's why when you've gone to a movie and you've saw the old subliminals back in the movie theater where they shoot a subliminal picture on the wall. Are you thirsty? Are you time for a Coke? Are you hungry? Time for some popcorn? And people just say, yeah, I think I'm hungry. And they don't know why they're hungry, because they've been stimulated in the back of their mind subconsciously. It's time to eat, time to drink. That happens to all of us. And the world is good at that. The adversary that rules this world, Satan the devil, as the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, that these things are real and that these things are what goes on behind the scenes in which most people don't grasp. Three levels of learning. Learning the level of God, where God is on the high level. Learning the level of our everyday human existence on the middle life. And the hidden life, the underworld, where Satan and the demonic forces work. And they're working quite a bit today, as they've always been working, and as they work, and the Bible shows it and gives us examples. But as I say now, taking us back over the years in the Church of God, when the story we read in the Bible in Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to feature on that story right now. It says, we think about Sodom and Gomorrah, and what do we tend to think about when we think about the term? We usually tend to think, if we're not careful, that has to do with all kinds of perversion and wrong way of living and so forth, and that's why God destroyed them. And the answer is, that's correct. That's exactly what he did. But it's interesting, because we become a victim of what I call tunnel vision. Sometimes we just lock in a certain way and we don't think outside the box. And that becomes a problem for all of us if we're not careful. I ask the question, could we have missed something by not thinking outside the box when we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah? And the answer is yes. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24, about the end time? He told us that as it was in the days of someone called Noah, that things would begin to really deteriorate, and that's what brought the entirety of the old world, the world that was, brought it to its demise. It was overthrown and destroyed because of that. It started over again, and right after that, it wasn't too long, here comes, in the same book of Genesis, Sodom and Gomorrah. Things are coming up again. But here's the interesting thing. If I were to ask you, where in the Bible does it say, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? We have in the days as it was of Noah. Where does it say, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Answer, it doesn't. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. It tells us about problems and difficulties that went on and why the city was destroyed. But we're going to take a look at something we may have missed, but it is very much happening today in these end times. So we've got two elements going on. As it was in the days of Noah, now we agree. Everyone, most people are you talking about that. But the other aspect that most people haven't seen is what Jesus introduced. Let's go to Luke 17, if you will. Join me there, please. Luke chapter 17. And in Luke chapter 17, something else is introduced for our learning. Remember, Romans 15 and verse 4. Everything is written for our learning. And in chapter 17, beginning in verse 26. Chapter 17, verse 26. All right. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Why? They ate, they drank, they married, and they given marriage. That's going on today, just like society has always been. Then it goes on, it says, and it continued like that, even to the day that Noah entered the ark. Verse 27, the flood came and destroyed them all. They never knew what hit them. It was like the bottom just fell out. Their world just collapsed. And that's what's happening. Our world is slowly collapsing. And the Bible affirms that this world is in the process of, I hate to say it, but it's true, because the Bible cannot be broken. It says it, and it means what it says. Because of the way human beings have lived, and because of the end time people of the house of Israel, God is telling us this world is dying. This world is dying, and it needs a Savior. It needs somebody to come back and deliver us from the problems we've created that we cannot solve because it's based on sin. And sin is the violation of the law of God, the spiritual law of God that governs all things. And people don't like law. People dismiss it. We'd hear everything today, voices saying, get rid of this, get rid of law enforcement, get rid of this, and defund that. So what does that leave you with? People running wild. Running wild. Well, Jesus goes on to say, it destroyed them all. But here in verse 28, notice this, and this is what we may have missed in the focus of time. In verse 28, it says, likewise, so as it was in the days of Noah, likewise, what's going to happen here is this. He says, as it was in the days of Lot. Lot. Notice that. We're told to take note of what happened to Lot. The story of Lot is written for our learning. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And guess what? It ended up going down in the process of time. And there was a little ruckus that came up among the herdsmen. Remember what transpired? We have a situation where Abraham says, look, we don't want to have any friction among our people. What do we do? All right, you make the choice. If you want this, I'll go the other way. If I'll, you know, however you want to do it. So it says Lot. The focus now is on Lot. And what did Lot do? He looked and he surveyed the situation and he says, oh, wow. There's the fertile valleys of the nations of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley. He says, I'll take that one. And so Abraham went the other way with his servants. That was a bad choice. That's why God is revealing these things to us about Lot now. Because the focus now is on Lot and his family. This is what we have missed. That we see all kinds of corruption going on. We see the same things of Sodom and Gomorrah going on. People have even made the comment, God better do something quick because otherwise he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them because it's so much worse now. Well, that's a tongue-in-cheek, but I'll tell you, I believe personally the only reason we haven't been destroyed is because there's more than 10 people left that still believe. There are many people in the nations today where God's people are scattered around the world that believe in the things of God. And because they do, God is merciful. That is one of his great traits of character. He's a merciful God. He tells us in many places in the book of Ezekiel, he says, oh, my people, why will you die, O house of Israel? Just turn around, listen to me. And you people who call yourself by my name, turn around. Acknowledge you're wrong. Repent, change, and I will forgive you your sins and I will heal your land. Have you begun to see what's going on out in the political areas of the western part of the country? The mega drought they're talking about out there, the heat that now is pushing all up to the Pacific Northwest for the first time, breaking all kinds of records. That place normally had the westerly winds coming in. And it was always cool. You didn't need air conditioning. They need it today. Triple digits in the Pacific Northwest for the first time, breaking records like they have never had before. So what does all that tell us? There are events going on that people are missing. They're not putting the two pictures together, what God is saying and what the world is saying. No, the title of this sermon, if you haven't got it right now, is As It Was in the Days of Lot. As it was in the days of Lot. We're going to focus on Lot in the time that remains and what has happened. Our attention is turned to Lot, and we find out that what? He goes on to say here, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, drink, bought, sold, planted, built, did the same thing like in Noah's time. And the same day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was delivered. God pictures deliverance from this period of time, and we know he's planning deliverance of his people in the end time. That's our protection. We're going to be spared by the hand of God, just like he spared his people in the early days of Egypt when he brought them out of Egypt. He had to protect them. So here we are in the end time, and we're going to have a similar event. And it says, and the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It says, even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Wow. That should give us all pause to realize, is there something going on now in the family, like Lot's family? We had the broad picture of what's going on in the world. The world's gone crazy. But now we're being focused on family. Because family is the basic building block of society. When a family goes kaput, the nation goes kaput. And the whole world goes kaput. It goes crazy. And today, people and families are falling apart. They're falling apart because the structure and the values of the family are being destroyed. They're telling us that there is no normal family of male, female, and dad, mom. Got to change those words. That's not good anymore. Got to make everything change. We just got to become kind of one giant blob of loving one another. Do you want to be a part of a big blob that loves one another, or would you rather follow the dictates of God and fulfill his purpose for giving you life? I think that's the choice God wants us to make. So as it was we see the condition of the family is introduced. Lot started out righteous because he's called Righteous Lot. He was vexed by what he heard in the city. But why did he put himself in the middle of the city where he was being vexed? Why did he make those choices? Well, it's because it's showing us we make choices too. And all of us don't make the right choices. And it's a word of warning to the family. Preserve your family. Watch out for your family. What started out righteous, something happened while living in the corrupted environment of degradation. They came in there, they were okay, but then as they started listening, that what the people were saying, do you hear words that are very offensive today? I don't like this constant use of the word, I'm not going to say it, but it's, you know, starts with A, B, C, D, E, and you know the next letter. That's an unclean word to even be. Every time people talking and saying, that you, that you, that you. What kind of filth is that? That's not how you show respect to your fellow human beings. You're to love one another, not to defame one another and use foul language. So what ends up happening? God focuses always on his people. When you're reading the Bible, all the stories are how God focuses on his people. So you and I are his people. And he's saying, what's going on in your family? How is your family operating? Is it operating according to God's rules? Or are you a mix? Are you a Laodicean mix? You want to do it with God's word, but you're a mix and you also bring in the world. So your home is corrupted, just like Lot. He wanted to do the right thing. He was righteous Lot. He didn't like hearing all the bad words. But what? He didn't move out. He didn't make a change. You and I are commanded constantly to change when we find things that are wrong in our life, as God points it out. So what happened? Things just continue to get worse. Finally, the story continues on, and we have the story of God sending two angels there to check the thing out, to see, is this thing as bad as I'm hearing the reports? You see, God gets reports daily. His spirit is everywhere, but he gets reports by using various angels and that which he has. In fact, I find it quite interesting that these angels, they record all these events. You know, if you've watched a movie like Star Wars or something, you see R2-D2 and how he's a little robot and he records everything. Same thing with God's angels. They take pictures of everything. You think you got marvelous things with your cell phone and you can take pictures? God's angels come across and they take pictures of us all the time. They watch our attitudes. They watch our behavior. They watch how we come. They watch how we go, what we say, what we do. It's all recorded. Why? Because as you have dealt and as you have judged, so you will be judged in return. Woo! Wow. And if you try to deny it, angel, throw up the video. There it is. We're condemned. And your own words will condemn you. So these things are very serious from God's point of view. And he's telling us, look, I'm not in the business to destroy anybody, but I'm giving you the opportunity to learn from case histories of human beings just like ourselves. And he's telling them what? He's telling us as people, learn from these things, change while you still have time to change. Apparently the Laodiceans, a lot of them are not going to change right to the very end. Then they will finally wake up, but they'll have to go through a living hell to turn to God. And that's not going to be fun. But it says after they've gone through that, they will be saved, the ones that have been faithful to God and turned to God. So the angels come to Sodom and Gomorrah. They check things out. The evil report is confirmed. So we know that is also mentioned. So the cities were marked for destruction. The angels then told Righteous Lot, take you, your family, your loved ones, get them out of here. Why? This place is going to go up in smoke. Wow. Wow. I don't know about that because I'm kind of settled here. I mean, what am I going to do? Where are we going to go? All those human emotions that we all can struggle with when things happen like that. And what ends up happening? He goes and warns his family members. So there's There's multiple family members have developed in the process. Ha, 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 ha. You're crazy. God's going to destroy this place. What are you talking about? So they stayed behind. And then, of course, the assault from the perverted locals came against Lot. And what ends up happening there? We find that he hesitated. Matthew 24. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. The admonition here is for all of us to watch, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. We can know the season, but the hour is hard to determine. That's why we're told, don't try to set dates on anything, because it's not going to work according to your philosophical outlook. But if the good man had known this, he would have done what? He would have guarded against the thief. Who is the thief that we have to guard against? Satan the devil. He's always out on the prowl. He's always looking for whom he may destroy. It says, and if he had been alert, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Your life is your house. Your life is the spiritual house of the Holy Spirit of God. And how do people have their house broken up? They go crazy mentally. Today, people are mentally breaking down. There's psychotic upheavals in the lives of people. This COVID-19 has messed a lot of people up. Young people are being monitored in some cases because of suicide reports. That's unheard of for a normal child growing up. What's going on? There is tremendous oppression being pushed down. Demonic oppression is what I believe is happening. And it's working on people because people have forgotten God. And the more we stay close to God, the better off we will all be. And then, of course, it goes all the way down to verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, finds so doing. Doing all these things, watching, preparing, keeping yourself close to God. So the angels come, cities marked for destruction. In Genesis 19, you can read that at your own recognizance. But in Genesis 19, it gives us the story of what led up to that. But as those details, we find out that he was hesitant to get out because the angel said, let's go. And the story tells us what? The angels had to grab them and kind of force them to go. So there's a hesitancy there. We must not have a hesitancy in our relationship with God when God tells us to move. So what ends up happening? These angels had to blind the assault of the evil ones. But something there that defines what, this is what we've missed. The character breakdown of the people. This is where God's people have to be extremely careful. Our character is being evaluated right now. Judgment is on the house of God. Here's something that has always stood out as somewhat of a disturbing thing in my mind, in the minds of many others, because I've had people ask me this very thing. Lot comes out and says to these wicked individuals, he says, don't do this, don't do this. These people under my house, under my hospitality, I'm providing and taking care. And then he does something that is strange in my mind. He says, I have two daughters here who have never known man. Take them and do what you want with them. Now, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. But any man who's worth his salt, why would he want to turn his virgin daughters over to a corrupted mound like that to do whatever you want to them? We see people doing that stuff to people today. That was not a normal reaction. That's what I called a watered-down reaction. On one hand, he said, these men are, you know, we got to protect these, but you don't protect your daughters? You turn them over to a mob like that? What that is telling us is the direction how character was being destroyed. He wasn't standing as a man to protect his daughters, which most men would do if they're men of God and understand what daughters are given to them. On the other hand, what happened? Well, the time of reality came. Another point to ask, how come the wife didn't speak out? Honey, what in the world are you doing? You can't send our daughters out to that mob. Nothing mentioned about her, is there? Interesting, these points that sometimes you can miss when you read these stories carefully and plug in those unanswered questions. Why? Why that? Let's go a little bit further. Wife didn't speak out. Time to go. They leave. We were instructed according to the scripture. Don't look back. And remember, while this was going on, what happened in the story with Abraham? And listen to this, where God says, shall I not tell Abraham what I'm about to do to these cities? Because he was a friend of God, Abraham. He followed God's ways. Abraham immediately realized, whoa, you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? But that's where my nephew is and his family. Lord, what? Then he beseeches God in his character, the character of God, and he asks for mercy. And he says, Lord, please, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Well, that's not God's will, that he doesn't want to do that. So he says, no, I'm not going to do that. If I can find 50 righteous people there in Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll spare that rotten, filthy city. Why are we being spared today? Why haven't things hit harder? They will eventually. But what's holding the winds back? I believe that there are more than 50 righteous people in America today and other parts of the world that want to obey God. The day that that stops, God have mercy on us all, because it's going to be a terrible time. How about 45? Okay, 45, I'll go with. Notice what Abraham is doing. He's negotiating with God. We tend to think you can't talk to God like that. You can't negotiate with him, because God is God, and his will is this way. Ghastly. Moses spared Israel from being destroyed, where God said he was so upset when that golden calf deal came along. He said, man alive, he said, stand back, Moses, I'm going to destroy these people. And he says, no, don't, please, Lord, don't do that. Because why? The nations will say, man, what kind of a God do they serve? He brings them out, sets them free from slavery, from Egypt, turns them in, he provides for them. And then they do what? You kill them? You're not going to look very good in the eyes of people. Their rationale will not compute. And so exactly what did God do? He spared Israel. Gave a second set of commandments. But there was a price to be paid. And we know what the price was as you read the story. But now you go back to this situation. Here is Lot. He's going out with his two daughters, the ones he would have sacrificed, and his wife. The word was, do not look back. She looked back. That's a warning to us. Are there going to be things that are going to come that could possibly make us want to look back or reconsider certain things that maybe we wouldn't have done? She did. What was it? The pull of the family? What about my kids back there? They stayed. What about the cushy life we had here in Sodom? And you want to bring us out here now and put us out in the wilderness? You begin to see this story is powerful. I mean, it is powerful. About the family and how the family that once started out righteous was destroyed by the foul character of the world in which they were living. We're living in a very sin-filled world right now. And it's affecting us unless we're fighting it and resisting it with the help of God and his Spirit. So she becomes a pillar of salt. Now, how do you and I know that? We weren't there. God was. And God cannot lie. So I know that pillar of salt took place because he said so. And in the Old Testament time, there's something else about salt. Man used it as a preservative for certain goods, like meat and things like that. Salt was a covenant symbol. When a covenant was made, salt was used and involved in that covenant. So that is something that, again, all these little innuendos are things to learn from. And then here's the other problem that I find as we look at the family. The family perished in a fiery holocaust, but there is no grieving mentioned about the loss. No grieving. When people lose that which they love, they usually grieve. No grieving for mom. And then we're introduced to a story where those two daughters that would have been thrown to the wolves, they've got a thought, and they said, you know, we have never known a man, so therefore, why don't we get dad drunk? Drunk? How did they know he drank? Did they know he was a giver of, or one who liked to drink a lot of wine? Is it possible he was an alcoholic? These are questions we don't normally ask ourselves, but think about it. He goes out, and the daughters must have known he drank a lot to even introduce the subject. Let's get our dad to drink a lot, and then we'll, you know what, have relations, and that way we'll at least have seed produced. Unfortunately, the seed that was produced was Moab and Ammon, the natural enemies of Israel down through time. It was a bad relationship, a bad deal. So therefore, the daughters must have known that he drank a lot. They thought it was the end of the world. They got him drunk on not only one, but two occasions, so that both of them ended up producing a nation. Now, the sad part of it is this. Sad part of it is this. You mean to tell me he must have got so blitzed that he couldn't discern that, who are you? You're my daughter? He was in a fog, and he was able to execute a relationship on two occasions. So this guy was really stoned, as we use the modern term today. A person gets stoned, but stoned many times with drugs today. Apparently, he may have been subject to blackouts, for all you know. Drinking so much, people have blackouts. You say, where were you? I don't know. They just don't know. It's like their mind has just lost a period of time. The scripture tells us that they got out of Sodom. They were delivered. You and I are promised deliverance in the end time. If we stay faithful to God, God will deliver us, no matter how bad the situation is going to be. And it will be pretty bad if you have ever studied the seals of the book of Revelation. And then from the seals goes the trumpet plagues, and then from the trumpet plagues to the seven last plagues. And as this thing gets faster and faster and faster coming down on mankind, the world shaking in its orbit because of things happening, it's going to scare the daylights out of people. Only those who understand God's plan will at least have the peace of mind knowing they can call on God for guidance, and God will send his angels to watch and protect. So Lot got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was delivered by God for Abraham's sake, as you see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. 2 Peter 2, verses 8 and 9. He was shown mercy for God, or mercy from God, and the sad part of it is we don't see where Lot changed. His manner and behavior did not change. We have nothing mentioned there, and actually, what happened to Lot? If we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we find something missing. Hebrews chapter 11. And it talks about all the heroes of God, the ones who, with faith, starting out, that's the famous faith chapter. We see in verse 7, and Noah being warned, he was warned, and Abraham when he was called out, and so forth. And then it goes through the various ones. But you'll notice one thing that's missing. The name of righteous Lot is not there. Why not? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. He may have just ended up a lost cause. If there's any way to save him, I'm sure God would find a way to save him. But according to this, nothing is mentioned about Lot ever again, and we never hear of him in the story of the scriptures. So, what are we learning? One of the most important things God warns us about is that what happened in Noah's time and Lot's time, but if we don't respond and act accordingly, then something will depart from us. And what would that be? Our God. You and I cannot afford to have God depart from us. We have an example of someone where God did depart from him. You know who he was. You hear the story about Samson. Mighty Samson. And he was given what? Tremendous power as one of the judges of Israel in the book of Judges. And he could go after the Philistines and they would try to get him and every time. But he had such supernatural strength that God gave him. And that supernatural strength was what? It was the power of God working in and through him, like the power of God can work in and through you and I today. God's no respecter of persons. So what ended up happening? Well, he was doing fine until he started monkeying around with the devil. Now, who was the devil? The devil's tool in this particular case was a lady called Delilah. Delilah. Yeah, Delilah. A woman who was of the Philistines. Now, Samson had plenty of women he could have chosen from his own tribe and his own people, but he didn't do that. Now, just because people are not out there who are of the same doesn't mean they don't have a lure and appeal. Samson was caught by the lure and the appeal of the Philistine women. And it talks about him, his character was not the best. So what ended up happening? You know the story. Now here's the thing that would drive you crazy. You would think you would understand this. God gave him the command, he was a Nazarite, never to have any alcohol, never to have his hair cut at a certain length. So what ends up happening? He set up. And the Philistines said, find out the secret of his strength, and we'll take him down. Well, here's a man who, with the jawbone of a mule, an ass, he wipes out all those Philistine soldiers. That's a pretty formidable power that God has given him. Well, this woman begins to ask him a question. He's visiting with her. And here's the point you want to keep in mind. You can't negotiate with the devil. And she was a tool in the hands of the devil to strike right at the heart of Israel at that juncture in the time of the judges. And she was the tool, the instrument, who for money... Money answers all things, but it also can corrupt a lot of people for money. It's the source of a lot of evil. So what ends up happening? He's there visiting with her. He visited quite a few times because, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He said, you know, tie me up this way, do this, do that. Make a long story short. Every time he went out, he whipped the pants off of them. Just took them down. Now comes the final. Then she begins to do what sometimes a lot of men fall prey to this. Women's tears can really tear a man up. If a woman really gets teary, a man doesn't like seeing women teary. And so what ends up happening here? She cries to him, Samson, you can read the account, I'm not taking for sake of time, but what ends up happening? He ends up doing what? Finally, after He confesses his whole heart to her. Now I ask myself the question, hey man, can't you see what she's doing to you? She's setting you up, trying to find out the source of your strength. Why would you tell her? It's because he had mixed emotions. His services was to God, but yet at the same time, he liked to play in the world. That was unfortunate for Samson, because what it did, it brought him down. She cut his hair, and here's the great lesson. She says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He goes out to meet them like he did before. And the Lord had departed from him, and he didn't know it. And they just grabbed him and captured him. You know what the story is. Put his eyes out. He finally repented in the end, realizing how wrong he was. And so he brought the temple down, killed more of the Philistines than ever before. But he repented in the end. But what a terrible price to pay. Didn't have to be that way. But it's all written for our learning. Do not compromise with the enemy. We are warned in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in the end time some are going to depart. Why? Because of spirit influence. People are going to buy into these arguments that will be out there. You'll have to remember that God is telling us very plainly that the character of the people in the end time is falling apart. They're losing their value structure. They don't know how to define a family. They don't know male and female. They don't even know who in the world they are. What am I supposed to be? Well, I have to wait until the baby grows up, and then we ask the baby, what would you like to be? Would you like to be a male or make you be a female? I don't know. This is how crazy and nutty things are getting. It is to do exactly what Satan wants, to destroy mankind. He doesn't care who you are, what your background is, as long as he can destroy you and keep you from the kingdom of God. That's what you and I have been called to do. I leave you with this basic element of warning. We have four major things to consider in the end time. We have one, Satan is on the move, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. We see in Revelation 12:17 that the target is against the people of God in the end. He's at war with the people of God. That's you and me. He's already got the world under his hand. So what is he going to do next? Well, then he's going to accuse the brethren. Revelation 12:10 before God. That's why we want to stay clean. We don't want to let Satan have tools that he can go and accuse us before God the Father. Then number three, he's going to play mind games with us if we're not alert and thinking. He's going to play mind games with us because he works in the mind. And number four, the last point, must differentiate between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's what we have to do. You can check this very final prophecy, and I end with this. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Ezekiel 16, verse 49, it says, what was the sin of Sodom? What was their sin? And here's how God defined it. Yeah, they did a lot of things, but he says, number one, pride. They were filled with pride, and our nation has been filled with pride. Even when we've been warned of God, of things that are coming, no, we can do it. We can solve our problems. Just give us enough time. We bought into that argument of evolution. Yeah, a monkey can type out the whole Encyclopedia Britannica if you just give it enough time. It'll get the right combinations. We don't have that kind of time, brethren. Time is of the essence. We're told to redeem the time. So pride was the first thing. Second was bread, plenty of bread. In other words, they had lots to eat. Traveling over Europe and other places in the world, people don't see what we have in this country. I didn't see it when I was over there. I loved it when I came back to America, because why? You could go to a place, cafeteria, and here was this marvelous sign in America, all you can eat. All you can eat. People don't realize what a blessing that has been. But now that the croplands are in danger and the flooding is taking place, prices are going to go up. There's coming a time where we're told you can't buy or sell unless you cooperate with the system that is called the mark of that beast. That system. So it's going to be heavy. And here's the last part. I had not seen this before, and what's been going on here recently brought it to the fullness. Pride, fullness of bread, and idleness. Now we have signs all over the place where they don't have enough people to work because people are idle. They now have all this money coming to them from the government to buy votes and things of that nature. And what do we end up with? We end up with an economy that is going to be in trouble in the years ahead, because the biblical admonition is very plain. If you don't work, you don't eat. There is no free lunch. Everybody has to work in order to accomplish what God intended in their lives. Well, brethren, that's just an overview of some things that you can glean just by studying the scriptures as it was in the day of Lot. Families are in jeopardy. Guard your family. Love your family. But don't put your family before God. Love them less than God. God must come first. Family second. And then pray for our nation is dying before our very face.